So we're reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 13. It's the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. And yesterday we came to the point where Haridas Thakur and his preaching partner Nityananda had actually approached these two drunken fallen Brahmins, Jagai and Madhai, and induced them, or at least from a distance, they encouraged them to worship Krishna, chant his holy name, follow his teachings, stop their sinful life, and begin a life of Krishna consciousness. However, the two drunkards didn't take very kindly to their compassionate shiksha, and they attacked them and chased after them. And Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, they ran away in fear of their lives, in great fear. Sometimes laughing, they were laughing to each other, and sometimes they were very fearful. And now at this juncture, Haridas is telling Nityananda, he said, "What is this? You're too restless. You're unpredictable. I go out preaching with you, and then you pick these two most unlikely candidates to distribute the mercy to preach to. And look at the predicament that we have fallen into. We practically lost our lives. It's only by the mercy of Providence that we escaped imminent death at the hands of these notorious dacoits, Jagai and Madhai." So after hearing Haridas, his preaching partner, reveal his mind, Nityananda said, "Nityananda palayami nahi je chanchala mani bhavi deka tomar prabhu se vivala." Haridas, I am not a restless person. Think it carefully. It is your Lord who is agitated and restless. I have become restless only by seeing how Lord Vishwambhara is agitated. But personally, I am not restless. Mahaprabhu is a poor Brahmin. Like a king, he has ordered me to preach the holy names of Hari at each and every house. And I am simply following his order. So Nittai is giving some defense. Haridas was wrongly accusing him of being restless and agitated, and because of his restless nature, you want to go up to anyone and everyone to give them this teaching. We should be a little selective, a little careful whom we approach. If some dangerous drunken characters, we might risk our lives. It's not very intelligent. Nityananda replies, "No, I'm not restless. Our Lord is restless. He's given the order. He wants every man everywhere, every man, woman, and child to take up this Krishna consciousness movement. No one is barred. No one is excluded. Whether they're sane or insane or drunk or not drunk, or sober, rather, then they should get the mercy. So you can blame it on him. Blame it on the restless, agitated Lord Vishwambhara. Not me. I'm simply carrying out my duty." Brahmanaha yajena raja agya kare tana bole buli sabha prati gare gare. Nittai continued, "Although Vishwambhara is a brahmana, he gives orders like a king. On his instruction, you and I are going from door to door to preach. Kotao je nahi shuni seyagyat tana chora danga bhai loka nahi baleana." He gives orders that we have never heard before, and as a result, the people of Nadia are calling us, are accusing us of being thieves and hypocrites. I have not heard anyone before give instructions like Gaurasundar. When we follow his order, people think that we're trespassing, thieves, or we're hypocrites in disguise. Nakari le agyatana sarvanasha kare, kare le o agyatana e falad hare. Haridas, if we disobey Mahaprabhu's order, we will be ruined. Sarvanash, everything will be destroyed. And if we follow his order, this is the result. Faladhari, this is the fruit that we hold, the fruit that we received. If we don't follow Lord Chaitanya's order to preach, then we'll be condemned. Our life will be meaningless. There's no meaning to disciple unless he follows discipline. The guru gives agya. We say shishya. Shishya comes from the Sanskrit. I think it means shast, The word shishya comes from Sanskrit shast, or shast, which means to punish or to control or command, shast, shast dhatu, I believe, shishya. So shishya means disciple. Disciple means one who is obedient. He follows discipline, yama niyama. He follows the order of the guru, guru agya, prabhu agya. So it's prabhu's agya, Mahaprabhu has ordered us. And if we refuse because of fear or a possible calamitous situation arising by executing that order, then we will be negligent. We will be guru avagya, guru avagya, avagya. There's agya, agya, guru agya and avagya. We'll be disrespecting the order, we'll be neglecting him and disregarding him. And this is aparad, nama aparad, guru avagya. This is the third offense against the holy name, right? Guru avagya. To disregard the order and not carry out the order of the guru. This is the literal meaning. But on the other hand, when we submit to the guru's order and we carry it out, we get ourselves in trouble. We almost get killed. So this is a paradox. This is some dilemma we're facing. So on one level, Nittai is empathizing with Haridas. He says, yes, you're right. We almost got killed, but what to do? We have to carry out the order. Apana prabhura dosha na janaha tumi tui jana tui jani bali lama dosha bhagiyami. Haridas, you do not admit the fault of your Lord. Although we both spoke to Jagai Madai, you accuse me of being at fault. So in other words, Haridas, Nittai is saying, you're not finding any fault with Vishambhar, who ordered us out here. We're only carrying out his instruction. You're not finding fault with him, but you're finding fault with me. And after all, think about it. You and I both spoke to those drunks, not only me. You are inducing them and encouraging them to take up the order. And so was I. So who's at fault? I'm at fault. You're at fault. Vishambhar, who's at fault? This is the argument. By the will of Mahaprabhu, both you and I are preaching the holy names of Hari at every house. But it's very sad that Haridas, you're accusing me of being at fault. Dosh, dosh bhagiyami. I am not alone at fault. Mahaprabhu is also involved. So obviously this is a type of prema kalaha. It's a lover's quarrel. Hena mate dui jane ananda kandal dui dasyu dhaya pache dekiya vikal. In this way the two Prabhus, Haridas Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, engaged in ananda kandala. Blissful quarrels as they watch the two rogues chasing them become confused. So the two drunkards, Jagai Madai, when they were chasing the Haridas and Nittai, they became confused and bewildered. Vikal. Dhaiya ayila nija takorera bhari madhyara vikshepe dasyu pade rada radi. The two Prabhus ran towards Vishambhar's house, while the two rogues, or two drunkards, they rolled on the ground, being intoxicated by wine. And deka na paya dui, madhyapa rahila, sheshe hudahudi dui, janiye bhajila. Unable to see Nittai and Haridas, the drunkards gave up their chase, and eventually began to push and shove each other. Madhyera vikshepe dui kichuna janila achila vakon stani kota waurahila. Being intoxicated by wine, the two drunkards could not remember anything about where they were, where they had come from, or where they were now. Katakshane dui prabhu ulati achai kota gela dui dasyu dekite nepai. After a while, the two Prabhus, Nittai and Haridas, they looked back, but they could not see where the two rogues had gone. Stira hai dui jane, kola kuli kare, hasya chalila jata, Prabhu Vishvambhari. The two felt pacified and embraced each other. They laughed and then went to see Vishwambhara. So Nityananda and Haridas were relieved that they were not being pursued anymore by the angry drunks. They were somewhat pacified. So they embraced each other and sighed, "Ah, we're safe now. We're out of danger." Then they went to see Vishwambhara to give the Sankirtan report. So hearing, we say Shastra Chakshush, Guru Chakshush, Shastra Chakshush, Oman Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Meditami. Guru Chakshush, Shastra Chakshush. We see through Guru and through Shastra. So in these words of the Shastra, Chaitanya Bhagavat, we are seeing the Nitya Lila of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his Parishads in Navadvip. There is in the spiritual world, the Ganga is there, Mayapur is there, Samantadvip, Godrundvip, all the different nine islands are there. And Jagai and Madai are also there. All right, they have their form there. It's at their Jagai and Madai Ghat. They're serving all the Vaishnavas after they're liberated and purified. But this path, to see these, the Shastra is trying to show us the scenery, the action, action-packed movie, action-packed leela, action-packed drama. So much action. A lot of action. This was a chase scene. It wasn't a chase, they call chase scene or setting. Chase scene in the movies. Usually in the movies, the dacoits jump in a car and they go very fast away in the car and the police come after them, "Stop, stop." And they're going very fast and skidding around corners. It's called a chase scene. Adds a lot of excitement to a movie. And everyone's like, the car is going out of control. Maybe the car crashes and the people jump out and run across the field. Tom, tom, you know, whatever. Now this is the kind of violence and all these things. Speed. So this is a chase scene. There, two drunks are peacefully lying on the ground. They approach them, and then they're running down the street. "Oh, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up." Like the music is going very fast. If you're watching a movie, music, the musical score of the movie is a big part of it. Imagine watching a movie and turning off the soundtrack. There's nothing. Because when there's a movie and the hero and the heroine are having some argument or discussion, and if you turn off the soundtrack and she's going, "Oh," and he's going, "Oh." There's nothing, you fall asleep. But when you turn on the soundtrack, then there's violins, and he's going, "You stupid this," and then, "You that this," you know, the music really enhances the ras. It moves the heart, the different ragas and different tunes. But you take away the music and you fall flat. The movie is nothing. So to read Shastra, we have to really work hard. Work hard at becoming absorbed. We really have to work hard at becoming absorbed in Shastra. Because there's no musical score. It's not three-dimensional or two-dimensional. It's like one-dimensional. I mean, of course, it's not much dimension to it. And there's no female voices and male voices and sweet voices and rough voices and gundas and good guys and bad guys. "Hey, help, you know." So there's nothing much to capture our ears and our mind. Tonal changes and music and all kinds of cars and fancy dresses and jewelry and hairdos and all kinds of, every scene in a movie, the hero and the heroine are wearing a different clothes. If you ever watch a movie, if you ever took track of how many times they changed their dress. There's a couple of our students who are movie stars in Bombay, and they were discussing, they had make a whole fashion show just for the movie. Every 2 minutes in a movie, in a different scene, the lady has a different dress and a different this, that, and the hero. So your eyes and ears, and you're really absorbed, and it's easy to see the changes and the sunglasses, no sunglasses, and this, that. So when we read Shastra, we have to pray to the author and to the members of the cast, the hero and the heroine, or the star and the co-stars and the supporting heroes, "Please accept me. Please let me enter here. Let me enter this dynamic drama. Please let me enter this dynamic transcendental drama known as Leela, Gaur Leela, Krishna Leela. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to hear it. I want to taste it. I want to enter this Leela. I want to experience it. Full experience. Holistic Shastric experience. Holistic experience of the Shastra. So this is, and the way they're written, and actually most of the Shastras are written in such a way, they give almost like a panoramic view. And because we've all been in Bengal, we're here, we're sitting here, we've seen these little, we've done this Navadvip Parikrama, and when you go in these different smaller villages, and you see the small footpaths on either, and there's on either side there's houses, and there's just these small dirt footpaths. And you can imagine how it was like 500 years ago. There was no asphalt and cement. Asphalt and cement didn't exist. So there's no black roads and all these, no cars. There's a footpath and sometimes these bail gutty horse carts like this. This is the means of transportation. So Nittai and Haridas are running down this footpath. Now they're coming to Mahaprabhu Bari. Mahaprabhu Bari, the house of Mahaprabhu. So now, because the authors of the scriptures, they're giving very specific detailed descriptions of the beautiful form of the Lord and the setting and what does he look like and what do his associates look like. But generally, we read so fast that we don't actually try to read Shastra as if it was a movie before our eyes. And we read it as if we're collectors. We're fact collectors. We're like collecting facts. Like someone goes in a park and picks up papers, the cleaner, the caretaker of the park. This one man here, he goes in the park every morning here and he picks up all the leaves to keep it clean, this garden opposite Gutta building. So that's his seva. So we read Shastras like leaf collectors. We went collecting leaves from the grass. We want to make a collection of facts and figures. But actually, these Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, especially, these are rasa shastras. They're full of rasa. Rasa means music. Rasa means exchanges. Rasa means emotion. Rasa means the thrill, the inexplicable thrill that an advanced rasika Vaishnava feels when he reads a shastra. This divine is sometimes described or translated, rasa is defined as divine rapture. A certain divine rapture that is called, the definition of rasa says chamatkar. It's amazing. It's what the experience one has when he actually tastes bhakti ras. So they're running down the street in fear, and they're perspiring in fear, and then they look, and then they see, we're coming to Vishwambhara's house. So then the camera shoots towards Vishwambhara's house, and you see the domes of Vishwambhara's house and beautiful Mahaprabhu Bari. And then it goes back, and Nittai and Haridas are perspiring, and they look and say, oh, they're not there, they're not fine. Oh, and they feel relieved, and their faces, they show relief, and then they embrace each other. So you keep this scene in your mind that, oh, Haridas is embracing Nityananda. And Nityananda, he's the son of Harai Pandit. He's a Brahmin. Harai Pandit's issue, he's a Brahmin. And Haridas Thakur is a Muslim. But he's not thinking, oh, you're a Muslim and I'm going to embrace. No, you're my preaching partner. Come on, and loving embrace. And Haridas, remember, Haridas is a short, he's like 5 feet tall, and Nityananda is almost 7 feet tall. This beautiful, loving embrace. And then they start laughing in each other's arms. It's exchange. Each verse, this is the mantra mayupasana, that each verse we can chant these verses and just try to enter there. And experience, what is the experience of these two devotees? And what is the exchange? What is the mood? What is the mood of the Lord's heart? As we explained in some other class, maybe here, I can't remember, the three different ways to enter the Shastra. These are terms that are also applied to analyzing Shastra. There's the Adi Atmika Vichara. Often you hear this term, Adi Atmika Klesh, from Upadeshamrita. Adiatmika klesh, adibhautika klesh, adidhaivika klesh. Klesh means obstacles, impediments, difficulties, diseases, problems, etc., caused by the nature, daiva, the demigods, by our own body or by the bodies of others, the difficulties, diseases, problems. But acharyas are explaining we can study the shastra. This is a repeat for those who said in previous classes. Adiatmika vichar, adibhautika vichar, and adidaivika. So adiatmika vichar, this is on this level, we look at the shastra, we look at a particular story or a particular section of shastra and try to see how does this apply to me, atma. Atma means me. Atma means jivatma. Atma means body, mind, soul, consciousness, heart. These are different meanings. In other words, how does it apply to me? What is the relevancy? What is the relevancy or the application to me in my life of bhajan, Krishna bhajan? What lesson can I derive here? What teaching? What shiksha? What help I can derive from this particular section, this particular exchange, this particular verse, or this particular set of verses? Adiatmik vichar. Vichara means consideration. Weighing it, evaluating it, examining it, extracting or drawing something of benefit for me to improve my life situation, to improve my mind, to improve my consciousness, to improve my behavior, to improve my dealings with others, to improve my realization and relationship with Krishna and Guru, and ultimately to increase my attachment and love for God, Sri Krishna. That's adiatmika. Adibhautika vichar is collecting leaves from the lawn, from the park. It is, bhautika means the elements, like panchabhuta. Panchabhuta means the elements. It's simply examining the elements of the story. Oh, this story took place. Adibhautika, you could say, is like this. Who, what, who, answering the questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how. Is adibhautika. The elements of the story. Well, what is the time setting here? What yuga is it, first of all? I'm reading the Bhagavatam. What yuga is this? This is the story of Hiranyaksha and Varaha. What is this, Kali Yuga? No, okay. This is Satyuga. Okay, when is Satyuga? Is this the end of Satyuga or the beginning? Oh, this is called when. It's called the when question. Oh, this is Satyuga in the very beginning of Satyuga. Then who is this? Oh, Hiranyaksha. He's the first demon, and like this. So this is the Bhautika, analyzing the elements. So, for example, this chapter. What's the title of this chapter? Deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. What is the subject matter? Well, the subject matter is two fallen Brahmins named Jagai and Madhai get delivered. They become Krishna conscious. And when is it happening? Oh, it's happening in Kali Yuga. When in Kali Yuga? There's 4 lakh years in Kali Yuga. Oh, it only happened 500 years ago. Hacha. Where did it happen? In New York City? It happened in France. Or maybe Poland. Where did it happen? Oh, you don't know. This deliverance of Jagai Madhai, it happened here in Navadvip, in West Bengal. What is called West Bengal? Of course, we know it's the Holy Dham. But in Navadvip. Acha. Who is involved? Who is involved in it? You tell me what happened, they got delivered. But who is involved in the deliverance? Oh, well, there was somebody named Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, and somebody named Haridas. Acha. Well, how did it happen? How? Like this. So this is the adibhautika, the elements, the philosophical points of the chapter or the historical setting, like this. Now, adidaivaka. Adidaivaka. Daiva means the transcendental level. Daiva, there's different ways to translate the word daiva, like divya. This is the transcendental level. This is not me, and not this is not from my viewpoint, or from my center, or from the elements of the story, but this is from the bird's eye view. We say bird's eye view, God's eye view. This is what is this story? How this is the Lord and His Leela, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the Lord and His Leela with His Bhagavatas, and the Chaitanya Bhagavat is the Lord and His Leelas with His Parishads. So this is Leela of itself, for itself, and by itself. This is on the level of Nityananda. So now, that's the transcendental. That's just the level of what's going on between the Lord and His Parishads. And I'm reading this, I'm observing. Oh, see how the Lord is exchanging. With See how Nityananda and Haridas are exchanging with each other. Such loving exchanges. There's their primary ras. There's some friendship. There's sakya ras there. There's dasya ras. Then that's the mukya ras. Then the gona ras is hasya ras. They're laughing. Then there's bhaya ras. They're afraid. Then there's vibhatsa ras. There's bewildered. All these different rasas, gona rasas, secondary rasas. And then what are the anubhavas? What are the expressions that happen when these rasas are stimulated in the heart? Well, there may be sattvic bhavas, but then anubhavas, they're perspiring, or they're trembling, or these are different things that happen. So this is all the rasa, the exchange of rasa with the Lord and his devotees. So then we can appreciate that. Of course, we're not a parishad, and we're not liberated souls, and we're not premi bhaktas, so we can't really relish the actual rasas between the Lord and his devotee. Rasika bhavuvaka. But at the level of bhava, when we come to the level of bhava, bhava bhakti, then we can actually read the shastra, and we very much can move on the level of adhyatmik vichara, because we have the adhikar to relish the bhakti rasa exchange between the Lord and his devotees. That's the meaning of rasika. He can actually taste the rasa bhavas in the heart of the Lord to some extent, and to more extent in the heart of the Lord's devotees. So when we read this section, for example, what we've read, we take it adhyatmika vichara. How does it apply to us? Well, I also go preaching, and I have a preaching partner, and we also go to drunkards, like we heard yesterday about the Swami went to the liquor store, you know, and went to the booth, to the bar with his godbrothers to distribute Bhagavatams, and he was chased by some crazy drunks, right? You heard that story. So, and then how did... And what is Nityananda teaching me as a preacher? He's teaching me to... And what is he teaching me as a disciple? He's acting like a disciple. He has an order. Who's his guru? Mahaprabhu. And what's his order? To preach. And is he flinching? Is he flinching when he receives the order? Is he not standing up and carrying out the order? No, he's with fearlessness and courage and determination, he's carrying out the order of his guru. Oh, Nityananda, please bless me that I become bold, and I become fearless and bold in carrying out the order of my spiritual master. So this is drawing. We draw something from the lila of the Lord. We draw something down to our level. And we can draw more. This is what commentaries are all about. It's called tika. Tika are commentaries of the acharyas. They draw out the meanings on the three different levels. Oftentimes, an acharya's tika or explanation is only describing the adhyatmik vichara. In this particular verse, this is the rasa between Kamsa and Vasudeva and this and that. And they'll just, everything about the rasa and those parties. Now when Srila Prabhupada writes his purport on the same verse in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 3 or so, that's actually the most unique contribution of our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, is that he took... Unlike most acharyas, if you read the commentaries of Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vallabhacharya, and Vishnu Chakravartipad, and Sridhar Swami, these are the primary commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see that they're discussing adhyatmik vichar and adhibhautika. Just what's happening between, if the verse and story is about Kamsa and Devaki and Vasudeva, and then the future birth of Krishna, their commentary will only be about this, their exchanges and all these things. Now you read Srila Prabhupada's commentary. He also describes these points of the adhyatmik. But then which is a special unique contribution of Srila Prabhupada, is that he makes it contemporary. And he brings it to a level where the reader can actually derive tremendous benefit in his own life. And he makes it very, very relevant, which is a very unique thing, because there's some issues of the editions of the Bhagavatam have 11 commentaries by 11 different acharyas. My godbrother, Radha Govinda Swami, Pujipad Radha Govinda Swami, he has that book with 11 commentaries in Sanskrit on every verse. And I was living with him in 1988 in the Gurukul for about a year, Bhuvaneshwar Das and myself, the three of us. And we would often discuss the Bhagavatam, and he would read the different commentaries. I said 11 commentaries. And all of them are about the verse. And Srila Prabhupada, this, and he and I were appreciating, for example, in a discussion about Kamsa and Vasudeva and Devaki, Prabhupada said, just like Kamsa was harassing Ugrasen. Ugrasen is his father. He put him in jail. Then he took over the throne and rulership of Mathura district. And then he was harassing the people and harassing the Yadavas and living in an area. In the same way, the Kamsa class of men, the modern day prime ministers and presidents of the Western countries are coming in the Kamsa Sampradaya. They're also harassing the devotees and harassing the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Prabhupada took a 5,000-year-old Leela of Krishna, of course, it's Nitya Leela, but it took place 5,000 years ago, and he's putting it right into now time, 2008, or 2009, whatever it is, 2008. So this is very special, to have that ability to be able to do that. And this is the first time in the history of Bhagavatam commentators and any commentator of a significant major commentator has done that. So therefore, this is the three ways to analyze the Shastra, and it's very important to see what especially depending on our level. If we're advanced, if we're on a level of Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti, then we relish the rasa of the Rasa Shastra. If we're on a lower level, then we very much derive the essential teachings and benefit. And the very practice of Shravanam and Kirtanam, of hearing and chanting the Shastra itself is a limb of bhakti. It will purify us and increase our attachment to Krishna and improves the chanting of our holy name by studying Shastra. So it's beneficial for everyone at all levels. So this is a teaching. So when we read the Shastra, we can think, what can I derive? What's in it for me? Often people say, all right, you want me to do such and such engagement. Well, what do I get out of it? Most people are very profit-oriented. They want to know, what benefit will I get out of it? Well, yes, if you help me do this, then you'll get that, this and that. So the Shastras, they're very beneficial. And to the degree which we surrender to the Shastra, and we pray to the Shastra, and we genuinely desire for the Shastras to mold our character and to improve the quality of our devotion, then the Shastras, which are personal, they will act upon us in a very transforming and beautiful way. Because it's the attitude by which we approach the Shastras, the submissive attitude, that sharanagata, that quality of sharanagati, of surrender and taking shelter of the Shastra. Yes, I'm approaching this story. I'm approaching the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das, Vedavyas Vrindavan Das Thakur. And I'm approaching as Chaitanya Bhagavat with a sincere desire for self-improvement, with a sincere desire to increase the quality and quantity of my bhakti, and with a sincere desire to become a lover of Krishna and a lover of Gauranga. So Vrindavan Das, I'm submitting myself to you. I'm submitting myself to your Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now please do the needful. With an open heart and an open mind and a submissive attitude, I am studying your sacred text. Now please help me. Yeya tamam prapadyante tamsa tava bhajamyaham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. This is Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11. And this is also the statement of any genuine devotee. As you surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. And sharanagati, or surrender, is the backbone of devotion, the backbone of bhakti. So these are some ideas to help us approach the Shastra. So Nittai and Haridas are pacified, they're relieved. Oh, danger's over. They embraced each other, then they laughed. But sometimes it happens. You get very afraid of something. You get spooked. We say spooked. You get spooked, or you get two people get very afraid of something. Oh, what's that? And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, it's just two trees. It's a tree in the backyard. I thought it was two decoys. And then you start laughing. You laugh at your own foolishness. Sometimes we become bewildered by some scene, some setting, some misapprehension about the environment. we see something, because the tendency to become illusion or make mistakes is with all of us. So sometimes a child or something in the moonlight, he looks out in his yard and there's two pine trees out in his yard. Oh, there's two thieves out in the yard. You know, mommy, you know, he runs and tells mother, there's two thieves in the backyard coming to rob our house. And she looks, are you stupid? Those are two pine trees. And like these type of trees, pine trees. And they just have these needles and they stand like that. And then, oh, those are two trees? then the child just laughs. He laughs because he realized, oh, I was afraid, but there's no reason to be afraid. So nittai, it's like we call it nervous laughter. Nervous laughter. Sometimes we become afraid and, you know, or we get afraid and then someone says, what are you afraid of? Oh, I thought it was a cobra. It's not a cobra. Look, it's a rope. Oh, look, I thought it was a cobra. So this is nittai and Haridas. They're so afraid. They're running. They're afraid for their lives. And they're not even here. We don't even see them. What happened? Oh, now they go see Vishambhar. So now the cameras, now they're going to Vishambhar's house. Now the cameras of our hearts, the cameras of Shastra Chakshush, the eye of Shastra, the camera eye of the Shastra is going to enter Mahaprabhu's house. And this is what we're going to see. Basi Jache Mahaprabhu Kamala Lochan Sarvanga Sundara Rupa Madan Mohan. So this one verse, a devotee can chant 16 rounds of japa meditating on this one verse. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. This is called Smaranam, Vishnu Smaranam. This is the guide. This is some guide. Oh, how to meditate on Krishna. I don't know how to meditate on Krishna. Meditate on Gaur. Audharya. Audharya, like the waves. Sometimes waves, they in the ocean, they go like this. They break, and then if the beach is shaped in a certain way, the wave goes like this, then it goes back. And it's called undertow. Undertow means back-pulling current. Back-pulling current, undertow. This is your toe. They call it finger in India, bottom side. Your toe, big toe of your foot. And the current catches you and pulls you out. So sometimes when you get in the ocean, there are currents. Currents means like streams of water which are pulling in opposite direction, very powerful. So what happens is you get in the current and it pulls you into the ocean. You're in the ocean, you're near the beach, but then this backward current, you're just playing there, all of a sudden you feel yourself being pulled and you're being pulled into the ocean. As if someone is holding on to you. Hey, what is this? And you know that's called, in English we say undertow. It's pulling you under the water. And you can drown that way. It happens oftentimes in Puri. People, this really looks okay. And they go in the water and all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. I'm going the beach is this way and I'm going that way. And they get pulled out into the ocean. And then if they can't swim back or they get caught in, it's like a current. Maybe it's a demon or something. Who knows what? Panchajanya demon. So this is Gaur Lila. This Audharya, Gaur Lila is like the undertow. It pulls you through Gaur Lila, you get pulled into the ocean of Krishna Lila. The Krishna Sindhu, Krishna Lila Sindhu. So this one little current or one little wave of Gaur Lila takes you into Krishna Lila. For example, this verse is describing what because we're walking behind, we're walking now, remember, Nityananda and Haridas are in front of us, and we're nearby, we're servants in Gadadhar's house, or Dwaita's house, or in Shiva Sangam. Then we see Haridas and Nittai walk by, oh, look, they must be going to Vishwambar's house, let me go behind them. So then I walk behind them, I'm following them, because I want to see. They went out preaching all day, now they're going to meet Vishwambar, and there's going to be some nice exchange. So let me go to Vishwambar's house and listen to that exchange and see the exchanges between Vishwambar and Nittai and Haridas. So when I walk in the house, then what do I see when I walk in Mahaprabhu's house? Like if you walk into someone's house, for example, in India, no one rings doorbells and knocks on doors and things like that. But in the Western countries, usually people ring the doorbells and they knock on the door. At least my experience in India, people just walk in. They feel friendly like that. So I got used to it after a while. but make sure you're not sitting around in your copins or something. You know, it's hot in Vrindavan, it's 45 degrees, 46 degrees sometimes. You're sitting in your room, it's pretty hot. So you don't know what heat is like here. When I was here some summers, and when it gets 36 degrees, everyone says, "Oh, Maharaj, it's so hot. It's 36 degrees centigrade." I says, "Hot? It's not hot at all. Come to Vrindavan, it's 47. 47, 46. I spent 21 summers in Vrindavan. 21 summers consecutively. Sometimes it was 50 degrees. I was living in Prabhupada's rooms at Radhadamodar in 1989, 1990. 50 degrees centigrade. Haribo. So naturally, maybe you're in your copins, you know, and sweat pouring down like this. There's no fan in the kitchen when I was staying there. It's so hot. So, but you can't be like that, because at least you have to have a gumshan. Because anybody walks in the door anytime, and they just push the door. Maharaj, oh yeah, thanks for knocking. Thanks for knocking. There's no doorbell, but. So now you come in the house of Mahaprabhu. And if you went in someone's house, you went into the Grihastha's house, and you just walked in the Grihastha colony. You walk in, they may be sitting on their couch or their chair or dining room table, whatever, on the floor if they have no furniture. So when they walked in, they saw Komala Lochan Mahaprabhu. Komala Lochan Mahaprabhu. Lotus-eyed Mahaprabhu. So chanting japa and saying you can spend 16 rounds because you're chanting japa. Oh, I go into Mahaprabhu body. I open the door and I see sitting there on some couch or some chair, some couch or something. Mahaprabhu is sitting there. Komala Lochan. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur, this is called Samadhi Bhashya. Samadhi Bhashya. Just like Vrindavan Das Thakur is Vedavyas. Vedavyas, after he compiled, is actually two writings of the Bhagavatam. He wrote all the Vedas, which includes the 18 Puranas, and this is one of the 18 Puranas. So he wrote all the Vedas, and still he wasn't satisfied. So he actually wrote the Bhagavatam. The 18 Puranas were compiled. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the 18 Puranas. He was despondent. And then Narada Muni came to him and said, "What's the problem?" Why? He says, "I don't know. I wrote all the Puranas. I wrote the Puranas and all this Vedic literature. I'm not happy." Because he wrote Vishnu Puran. Vishnu Puran talks about Krishna Leela. Skanda Puran talks about Krishna's Leela. Padma Puran talks about Krishna's Leela. He already wrote those. And he already wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is what the Acharya is telling. And then he said, then Narada Muni said, "You have not revealed the rasa of the hearts of the Brijvasis." In Padma Puran, in Skanda Puran, in Bhagavat Puran, you've talked about the Leela from an Adibhautika viewpoint. You describe the Leela. You can see, if you read Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran, it's also the Leelas are there. And they were written. It says, Vedavyas compiled all the Vedic literatures, which means 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas. So you should actually bring out the rasa of the hearts of the Brijvasis. Then when you bring that out, and when you taste that, then you'll actually experience satisfaction, and this is actually what I want you to give to the world. So in Vishnu Puran, in Padma Puran, you will read about Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, but the rasa is not there. The rasa is not there. But when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is Rasa Shastra, it is not Puran. It is Amalam Puranam, right? Paramahamsa Samhitam. Sarva Viranta Saram Hi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he was glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Viranta Saram Hi. This is the Bhagavatam, is the essence of all Vedanta. So then Narada Muni went back and he rewrote the Bhagavatam. He rewrote the description of Krishna's Leela. And to do that, he entered into Samadhi. So the Acharyas say that the second writing of the Bhagavatam, especially 10th canto, maybe he only rewrote the 10th canto, it's not clear to me. But when he rewrote it, he entered into a state of Samadhi Bhashya. It's called Samadhi Bhashya, Brajabhasha. Bhasha means language. He entered into Samadhi and meditated on Krishna's Leela. Deeply meditated on Krishna's Leela. Then he rewrote and he wrote the 10th canto and brought out all the exchanges of rasa. Sakhi ras, Vatsalya ras, Madhura ras, which is so much richly woven in the 10th canto, Dasama Skanda of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was all a product of Vedavyasa's Samadhi Bhashya. Similarly, that Vedavyas appeared 500 years ago in Mamagachi and Godrum, Modadrum, Modadrum Dweep, which is one of the nine islands of Navadweep, Modadrum Dweep, as the son of Mother Narayani. Mother Narayani, of course, took the prasadam directly from the hand of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu told her to chant the holy name, and so she was blessed by Sriman Mahaprabhu, and she gave birth to Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's considered to be the incarnation of Vedavyas. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he also wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat in Samadhi. So he was everything he's writing about, he's seeing with his Prem Dristi, Prem Lochan. Premanjana Bhakti Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Bhakti Vilochan Vishesh Lochan Bhakti Vishesh Lochan Bhakti Vilochan. Lochan means eyes, V means Vishesh Lochan. Very special eyes. Vilochan Vishesh, very special. What is the speciality of his eyes? Was it 20/20 vision? Was it expert vision? It was Prem vision. Like we have television. You've heard of television? Television, this is Prem vision. Like Sanjay. Sanjay in Kurukshetra, he had this type of transcendental television. He could see the battle and tell Dhritarashtra about it. He was foreseeing what was going to happen. So this is Prem vision. So in this Samadhi Bhashyam, Prem vision, Vrindavan Das Thakur is writing. He is in his Leela Pravesh, in his meditation, in his Samadhi, he is right there. He's with the he's Tanmoy. Leela Tanmoy, he's become one with the Leela, Tanatmika. He's merged his heart and mind and consciousness into the Leela, and then he's describing it so beautifully and clearly and wonderfully. So this verse, one can chant 16 rounds and pray to Vrindavan Das Thakur, take me with you. I want to see the Leela. I want open the door, and I want to see sitting on that love seat, or whatever we call love seat in the West, you know, like a little small couch, it's called love seat. Sitting on that love seat or that couch is Mahaprabhu. And I'm chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I'm seeing this Kamala Lochan, these beautiful lotus eyes of Mahaprabhu. And it doesn't take much to imagine what his lotus eyes look like, because we see them every day. Right? Mahaprabhu is here in the Mandir, the Panchatattva. So it's easy to see the lotus eyes, the Kamala Lochan of Mahaprabhu. So I see he's sitting there, and Sarvanga Sundara, Sarva Anga, and I see his face, I see his jaw, I see his shoulders, I see his chest and his waist and his hips and his legs, and he's just sitting there. And it's Sarvanga Sundara. Every part of his body is most beautifully contoured and formed, so effulgent and attractive and pleasing to the eye. Sarvanga Sundara. Rupa Madan Mohana. He says, Rupa, I'm seeing this form, and as I'm looking more and more at this form, this form is this Gauranga, this he's actually Madan Mohan. He is the transcendental Cupid of Vrindavan. So that's why I said this wave, this you meditate on Gauranga's beautiful form, Sarvanga Sundara, Gora Sundara. Gauranga Sundara, then all of a sudden you're seeing Madan Mohan, the transcendental Kamadeva of the Kam Gayatri and the transcendental Kamadeva or beautiful person of Vrindavan. So Gaur Leela is Audari, it's magnanimous. It's magnanimous, it's spreading like a crashing wave on the shore. And it's spreading, and it's that Audari, that magnanimity, that all-embracing feature of Gaur Leela embraces us and carries us. Carries us to the ocean of Krishna Leela. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is seeing that. I'm seeing Gaurasundara, but now Gaurasundara has become Madan Mohan. He's so beautiful. He's attractive. Madan means Cupid, Kandarpa. This god of love or god of lust. But he's so beautiful. So this is because we, a few minutes ago, we were seeing two drunks pulling each other's hair out, lying in the mud, and they're all so gross looking and despicable, and they're just lying in the street and disheveled and all clothes ripped this way, that way. And then Nittai and Haridas running. And now the door opens up, and the abode of peace, the abode of prem, the complete unlimited abode of unlimited peace and love. It's so beautiful. The Sankirtan leader, Vishambhar, he ordered them, go out all day and preach, Haridas and Nittai, and come back in the evening to my house and report. Give me the Sankirtan report. How many big books distributed? How many Maha big books? How many magazines? How many Bhagavad Darshans? How many small books? No, right? No. How many life members made? Right? How many Pandava Sevaks? How many Go Sevaks? So the Sankirtan report. So Matt, just see it. All this excitement, the chase scene. They narrowly escaped death at the hands of these two dacoits. And now they enter the house of Mahaprabhu. It's like they went from hell to heaven. And that's what it's like. Anybody that's a preacher and a book distributor, especially in the West, you go out all day. I remember spending 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours in the Los Angeles International Airport or in the San Francisco Airport. It's all cigarette smoke and jet fuel and announcements and noise. And there's restaurants all over the airport. There's restaurants and the smell of burning flesh and chicken and booze and whiskey. And it's like hell. It's airport is like hell for a Vaishnava. And you're approaching all these people, they're smelling like onions and garlic and dead flesh, and they're like walking cemeteries. And you're saying, please, sir, excuse me, take this Bhagavatam. Welcome to San Francisco, welcome to Los Angeles, and this and that. You know, paisa de do. Give some money. You know, taka. So then when you come home, you get in the Sankirtan van, and of course we're wearing pants and shirts so people will at least listen to us and approach us or allow us to approach them. Then we come home to the temple, Los Angeles temple, then we take a bath, tilak, fresh cloth, and go down. Agni Dev is there. Agni Dev is leading the evening kirtan. Agni Dev and I can't remember who else, Garutama and Mahatma, so many great kirtan leaders, Vyasaki, they're all there. And then and the doors open up for evening kirtan. Kiva jayo, jayo. Oh, it's a spiritual world. It's like from hell to heaven. Of course, you live in Mayapur every moment you're in the spiritual world. But maybe you go to Calcutta sometime to distribute books, and that's another form of hell. Calcutta's another name for hell. So this is the same experience. Nittai and Haridas, they've been in hell in the streets of Navadvip. And all drunks and people. And you know what, the streets of Navadvip, there's so many fish markets, so many chicken markets, so many goat markets. And you go down the street, and you see some dead flesh hanging on a hook. And you go, oh, Hare Krishna. What? Some goat shop, they're selling raw red flesh just hanging there, all flies all over it. And you have to go down there and distribute books or go shop to shop and sell books. I don't know. But so then you have an idea. So Haridas and Nittaya, they saw all these things. That's going on 500 years ago also. People didn't just start eating goats today. They've been eating goats and fish and chickens for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in Navadvip. It's going on. It's not a new thing. So they saw that. Now they come into Mahaprabhu Vari, Kamala Lochan, Sarvanga Sundara, Rupa Madan Mohan. Such a beautiful, soothing, satisfying sight. And then, Chatur Dike Rahi Jache, Vaishnava Mandal, Anyonye Krishna Kata, Kahina Sakal. So see the difference, see the scene. Mahaprabhu's sitting, he's sitting there. He's surrounded by Vaishnava Mandal. All the Vaishnavas are sitting at his feet. And he's sitting, or maybe he's sitting with them. It just says he's sitting. It doesn't say he was sitting on a chair. It just said he was sitting. Vasi Jache, Mahaprabhu. So maybe he's sitting on the floor on some asan with all the devotees. He was surrounded by the Vaishnavas. What were they doing? Hari Katha. They were discussing Krishna Katha, Kahina, Sakala, amongst themselves. So they went from hell and they dropped right into the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, that's what they do. Krishna sits, the devotees sit around together and they discuss about Krishna. The coward boys come home in the afternoon. They say, oh, Krishna did this, Krishna did that. And their mothers say, really? Oh, how did he do this? How did he do that? They're with Krishna all day, and when they're not with Krishna, they're talking Krishna Katha. The gopis are with Krishna all night, and when they're not now in the daytime, but they're not with Krishna, they're speaking Krishna Katha. This is the spiritual world. So they're with Krishna, with Mahaprabhu, all the devotees speaking Hari Katha. What refreshment, what pleasure for the devotee to come back to the temple and sit down with the devotees and hear Hari Katha. It's topmost bliss. Kahina apana tatva sabamadye range sweta dvipa pati jena sanakhari sange. Vishambara joyfully discussed his own glories in that assembly, just as the Lord of Shwetadweep did in the association of sages headed by Sanaka. Nityananda Haridasa Hina Samhai Divasa Britanta Jata Sammuke Kahai. So the camera's there, so we're watching the movie. So we left Haridas and Nittai on the streets, and they're embracing, they're laughing, and they're on the way to Vishambar, to his house. Now the next scene is in Vishambar's house, and Vishambar is there, and they're speaking Harikata, and Advaita is there, and Gadadhar is there, and Jagannatha Pandit's there, and Narahari Sarkar is there, and so many devotees are there, sitting. And they're relishing such high nectar, such sweet, beautiful scene is there. And now the next scene, in comes, now the cameras go to the door, and in comes Nittai and Haridas. At that time, Nityananda and Haridas came before Lord Vishambar, and they reported to him what happened that day. Aparupa deki lama aji dui jan parama madhyappa puna balaya brahman. Lord Nityananda said, today we have seen two strange creatures. They were great drunkards, yet they called themselves brahmanas. Balare balilatari balakrishna nam kedadhya ane leka bhagye rahi pran. We nicely requested them to chant the names of Krishna. In response, they chased us, yet fortunately, we survived. Bhagye rahe pran. By good fortune, our pran was protected. Mahaprabhu replied, Prabhu Bali, kese dui kiba taranam brahmana haya kene kare hena kam. Who are those two? What are their names? Why would brahmanas engage in such activities? Sammukhe achila ganga dhasa srinivas kahaye jateke tara vikarma prakash. Gangadas and Srivas Thakur were sitting before the Lord. They began to relate the sinful activities of these two. Apparently Vishnuvar didn't really know about the activities of these two drunkards, but Srivas Thakur and Gangadas, they knew. Se duira nama prabhu jagai madhai Subrahmana puchadui janma eidhani sangadoshe se donhara hena haila mati ajanma madira bhai ananahigati. Gangadas and Srivas Thakur told Vishambar, O Lord, these two are named Jagai Madhai. They're the sons of a pious Brahmin, and they were born here in Navadvip. In other words, they didn't come from some other place like South India or Bangladesh, whatever. So they're Navadvip Vasis, Nadia Vasis, Dam Vasis. Due to bad association, they have developed such mentality. Sangadoshi se donhar. Sangadosh. Asat sangatyag e Vaishnavachar. Vaishnavachar, the behavior of Vaishnavas, he rejects asat sangatyag. He doesn't take association with those that are materialistic and go against the pleasure of the Lord. Act or speak against the pleasure of the Lord, he avoids them. So they did the opposite. They had bad association. Sangha dosh. Dosh means bad association. And consequently, their mentality became affected. The mind becomes affected. They have been attached to drinking since their birth. That's, I don't know where they got the bad association. I guess they got the bad association inside the womb or something. I don't know. It's hard to combine these two ideas. Se duira bhaye nadi jara lokantari hina nahi jara gari churi nahi kari. And Gangadas and Srivas continued. Everyone in Nadi is afraid of these two. There is no house that has not been plundered and robbed by them. So they've robbed churi. Gari churi nahi kari. They churi, their chore. They stole, they robbed everyone's house. Se duira pataka kahite nahitani apane sakala deka janaha gosani. There is no limit to their sinful activities, O Lord. You know and see everything, of course. Now, the response. Prabhu Bali. Janon janon se dui bheta khanda khanda karimu aile mora kheta. I know these two fellows. If they come here, khanda khanda karimu, I will cut them to pieces. Nityananda Bali. Kanda kanda karatumi, seidui takite kota na jaiba ami. You can cut them to pieces, but I will not go out as long as they are there. Nityananda said, my lord, I will not be able to follow your order to preach as long as these two drunkards are alive. Then I guess this is Lord Nityananda. It's continuing. He says, Kisera va'eta tumi karaha bhadai age se dui jane govinda bhalai. This is Nittai speaking to Chaitanya. Only he can speak of this. Why do you brag so much? First you get these two to chant the name of Govinda. Because Haridas and Nittai tried. They told him actually to say Govinda. And then Lord Chaitanya is saying, hey, I'll cut these people. I'll finish them. And Nittai says, okay, wait a minute. Let me see you go and convert them. Let me see you get them to chant. And we'll continue tomorrow with the rest of Nittai's defense. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai.